This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of September the 7th, 2020, brought to you by the law firm Krieg DeVault. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. The northwest side of downtown Indianapolis is home to several huge healthcare facilities, all a part of or allied with Indiana University Health. Of course, there's 112-year-old Methodist Hospital, the largest hospital in the state, and coincidentally, where I was born, maybe where you were too. About a mile and a half to the southwest on the IUPUI campus, there's University Hospital, and right next to that is the Simon Cancer Center. Now, we've known for 5 years that IU Health, the state's largest hospital system, was planning a major transformation of some sort from Methodist Hospital downtown, possibly incorporating in some way the operations of University Hospital and or the Cancer Center. IU Health officials only tipped their hands slightly over the last 5 years. That changed in early August when they revealed plans for an 8-square-block medical campus just south of Methodist. On one section of the campus would sit a new $1.6 billion hospital. The mess of interconnected buildings that we know as Methodist right now would stay, but its primary functions would move to the new hospital. In addition, University Hospital would close, and its operations would be consolidated into the new hospital. And that's not it. The Simon Cancer Center, which only opened in 2008, will close at its current location. Its operations will move somewhere and in some form to this new medical campus. And to top it off, much of the Indiana University School of Medicine, which happens to be the largest medical school in the country, will also inhabit the new campus moving from IUPUI. So those are the broad strokes of what promises to be a tectonic shift in how healthcare is delivered by IU Health in the Indianapolis area. There are still a lot of questions about the transformation, which at least at the moment is expected to be finished by 2026. IBJ healthcare reporter John Russell joined me for this week's edition of the podcast to help put some meat on the bones of this plan and provide the context for these changes. And he has a story in the latest issue of IBJ focusing specifically on the fate of the Simon Cancer Center and questioning why the $150 million facility will end up having such a short lifespan, at least as a cancer center. Here's our discussion. Joining me in the IBJ podcast virtual studio is healthcare reporter John Russell. John, thank you for making time today.
Glad to be here.
Let me just start with kind of at least the 5,000 foot look here. How big a deal is this? Have we in Indianapolis ever seen such a major transfiguration or at least reshuffling of so many major operations in the healthcare space?
I've been around for 15 years watching healthcare and other industries in central Indiana and have read my share of history and back clips and talked to a number of people on a weekly basis, and I've never heard of anything this big in healthcare as far as the amount of dollars and the amount of assets that are moving around. So no, this is huge.
And is it possible to distill first what is really driving all of this activity?
Well, there are several factors. First of all, you have a 100-year-old hospital downtown Methodist, actually opened in 1908. When you think about that, that's over a century ago when Theodore Roosevelt was president, and this was before the age of insulin or penicillin even. And this is a major old building that needs to be redone in a major way. And it's so many different buildings. It's not just one massive structure, which is the first thing you see when you're driving up North Capitol at 16th and see Methodist Hospital or down 65, but it's more than a dozen buildings scattered around that campus, which are not connected well, which are of different ages and are different uses and are serving the health community differently. And then you have another hospital 2 miles away, which is duplicating many of those services from an emergency room to all kinds of research. And it just doesn't make sense for two hospitals 2 miles away to be going on to the future. And the other major factor that's driving this is that healthcare is changing so fast. back when these hospitals were in their heyday, patients were staying overnight for the most routine procedures, sometimes several nights. Now, insurance companies and the government will pay for them to be overnight only for the most complicated and serious conditions. And so most healthcare is done on an outpatient basis. You just don't need this much bricks and mortar now. So they're trying to update, reconfigure, and consolidate what they have.
And we've known for 5 years now that IU Health intended to transform the Methodist campus in some manner and integrate some or all of University Hospital, possibly the Simon Cancer Center. Why has it taken this long to present the plans, which even now are, you know, I think you could say are kind of in the broad strokes phase?
They are still in the broad strokes phase. I expected them to come out with a final design 2 years ago. That's what the plan was when they announced this in 2015. But it's really a mystery why it's taking so long and why it's so incomplete and, you know, so undefined still. And I get different answers from the different people I talk to. It sounds like that senior leadership has rejected a few of the early designs and sent it back because there's just so many moving parts and so many fixed assets. It's so difficult to try and figure out the best way to do this. I don't expect that we'll see a finished design for another year or so because they just hired the architects who are going to be responsible for, you know, coming up with what the new expanded Methodist campus will look like. And, you know, those guys aren't going to, you know, turn around in a matter of weeks or months. They're going to take as long as it takes.
Yeah. There's no template for something like this you can plug into a computer. Just real quick for folks who aren't intimately familiar with the Indianapolis healthcare landscape, what is Indiana University Health? Folks probably know it's the state's largest hospital system, but what's the connection to Indiana University?
It is the largest health system by far. It's with 16 hospitals and more than 30,000 employees and hundreds of points of care sites from urgent care to doctors' clinics. What is the connection? Well, its predecessor was called Clarion Health, which was formed in the late 90s to merge three independent hospitals together. Methodist Hospital, which is owned by the Methodist Church, Indiana University Hospital, which is owned by the university, and Riley Hospital for Children, which is owned by the Riley Foundation. And it brought those three together under an umbrella with a shared board. So it's not run completely now today by Indiana University, even though it shares its name. It still has the Methodist Church on its board of trustees, and it still has a number of folks from the business community on its board of trustees. His first name was Clarion Health, which was a pretty vanilla generic name to try and not offend either side, to try and keep things on a good footing, but gradually Indiana University has, you know, recaptured the brand and much of the identity.
But it sounds like there are a lot of stakeholders in this.
That might be another reason why it's taking so long to try and please so many different people.
So let's take stock real quick of the current configuration of the major facilities on the, what I'm going to call the IU Health Medical Campus. I'm broadly defining that as that Methodist area, mm-hmm. and then the IUPUI campus about 2 miles to the southwest. So the big kahuna, like you say, is Methodist Hospital. Is the state's largest hospital, is that right?
It is. There are a few other large hospitals in Indy and other cities, but this is the biggest in the state.
2.6 million square feet, almost 600 staffed beds. And as you mentioned before, it's become a white elephant. It's really 15 different facilities that have been melded together.
Yeah, white elephant might be a little too strong. There are some newer facilities which still have a lot of life left in them. Some of the newer patient towers, some of the newer care facilities, but the original building, it's pretty much just a museum now, and I doubt it will be saved in any real way for patient care.
We have the Indiana University School of Medicine, and that's located on the IUPUI campus?
It is, and it has been for a long time, but it too is about to move, or at least much of it is. The IU Board of Trustees earlier this year approved the moving of the school to the new, what would you call the IU Health Downtown Medical Campus, which is this new thing we're all waiting to see what it's going to look like.
And we'll get to that in a second, but a significant medical school. It's the largest school of medicine, I think, in the U.S.?
By enrollment, yes, and is based on the IUPUI campus, but it has smaller campuses with clinics and classrooms in a half dozen or more locations around the state, from the Northwest down to Evansville.
We have University Hospital, which we've already mentioned. It's a 1.6 million square foot teaching hospital, again, about 1-2 miles to the southwest of on the IUPUI campus. And it's about 50 years old, and has about 325 beds.
Right. So still pretty old, not as old as Methodist, maybe half as old, but yeah, that's older than a lot of hospitals in the country and probably due for, you know, a major redo, in this case, a big move to the Methodist campus.
And then speaking of what's old and new, we have the Simon Cancer Center, which opened in 2008.
Then, now that's really new. Yeah. It's only 12 years old now. And it was only 7 years old when IU Health announced it would be transforming and consolidating its downtown campus and moving lots of facilities. And the Simon Cancer Center was mentioned, although not finalized, but mentioned as it would be joining that move. And just last month, IU Health confirmed that, yes, it will be going to the new place. So all the labs and clinics will be emptying out of a building that was put up just 12 years ago at a cost of $150 million.
Well, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
The IBJ Podcast is brought to you by Krieg DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Krieg DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Krieg DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.kriegdevault.com.
Okay, we're back with this week's edition of the IBJ Podcast. I'm speaking with healthcare reporter John Russell about the major changes coming to IU Health's operations and facilities on the northwest side of downtown.
Let's now reshuffle. Let's look at how everything will change. Methodist Hospital, what we know as Methodist Hospital, 2.6 million square feet, will be supplanted by a new facility. And what are the features of this new hospital?
Well, that's still on the pretty much on the drawing board at the architect's office. So, but preliminary design calls for it to have maybe be 10 stories high with three patient towers. By towers, I don't mean individual buildings, but large protruding glass wings that provide a lot of natural light from the inside, and from the outside have a pretty striking, shimmering appearance. When you said supplanted, I'm not sure it'll be completely supplanted. Parts of the old Methodist Hospital will remain. It's a big building with it's more than one building, lots of buildings. And I think they plan to keep some of the patient beds there for at least for a while for overflow, while they decide what they're going to do with those old buildings.
Is this new facility going to be called Methodist, or will it have a different name?
It will have a different name, but they're not saying what the new name will be. That's the next big reveal. I would suppose that the Methodist name will be kept in some way. The Simon Cancer Center name will be kept in some way. University Hospital will be kept in some way. But they're keeping that to themselves for now, exactly how those names will be honored for the future.
Just so we can orient people. So this new facility will be directly south of the current Methodist Hospital.
Right. So if you look at the current Methodist Hospital, it's at the major and oldest and most historic part of it is at the corner of Capitol and 16th. And then it spreads all the way west to I-65 and all the way north for four or five or six blocks. This expansion will roughly double its footprints, expanding it by 44 acres or eight blocks directly to the south, all the way to 12th Street.
And then onto or into this new facility, we would fold what we think of as University Hospital. I mean, essentially, it'll be consolidated into this new facility.
Yes, I mean, I've seen tentative renderings over the last few years and, you know, discussions and blueprints and boards of trustees, minutes about what's going to be going where, but nothing is final yet. Everything will be folded in somewhere.
What happens to the current facility? I mean, it's plenty big. I mean, it's more than a million square feet.
University Hospital?
Yeah.
They haven't said yet. It is a big building. It's a pretty striking building on the IUPUI campus. And you might ask what's going to happen to the old Simon Cancer Center too. And no one knows the answer to that either, except to speculate it might be turned into dorms or classrooms.
And then, as we mentioned before, the IU School of Medicine will migrate to this campus. It will not be a part of what we consider to be the new hospital, but it will be nearby.
It'll be on the campus, so it'll be a partner. Remember that IU Health and Indiana University are not the same organization, but they're very, very close cousins, and they share a lot of facilities. A lot of the people who work as clinicians for IU Health have faculty appointments at the School of Medicine. There's a lot of overlap, so they'll be working pretty much side by side.
And then the Simon Cancer Center, again, its operations will move on to this campus south of 16th Street. But as far as what that will look like, we really don't know.
Now, the Simon Cancer Center is an unusual creature, an unusual animal. And so it's hard to say what will become of it because it has both patient care, lots of labs, some inpatient beds, lots of outpatient areas for like radiation and for chemotherapy. So those are easy things to pick up and move, well, relatively easy. But then there's also a lot of education and research, and some of those people have labs inside that building. Some of the researchers are elsewhere on the IUPUI campus, and they'll stay put. But the entire contents of the current Simon Cancer Center will be emptied out, and most of it looks like it's going to the new Methodist campus.
Now, the property that will make up this 8-block expansion south of 16th Street, what's on that property currently? What happens to that stuff?
It's a strange mix. There's some office buildings. There's some industrial buildings. A lot of them are going to be folded in, and in 20 years, they'll be completely gone. IU Health is going to let some of the tenants stay put until their leases expire. There's, say, office buildings for health benefits administrators. There's a trailer hitch company in one of the buildings. IU Health already owns part of the land, or previously owned part of the land. So they've been buying it up little by little over the last couple of years, and their plan is to have complete control over it in the long term.
Is the whole campus, all of these projects that we're saying, is this all supposed to be done by 2026?
Yes, but you have to take that with a grain of salt. I mean, deadlines come and go. They told me 2 years ago that they would have a final plan unveiled by the end of 2018. 2018 came and went. 2019 came and went. It wasn't until the middle of 2020 that they had kind of a plan to share, with still a lot of unanswered questions. So they say 2026, but I don't know if I would make that a hard stop.
As we mentioned, the part of this that seems really the least defined is the future of the Simon Cancer Center. And as you said, it really wasn't until last month that IU Health officials confirmed to you that the center would not remain a standalone unit on the current site. I think it was opened in 2008, which was just 12 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Cancer Center was supposed to do? I mean, it's not just as simple as being a, you know, facility with beds for people to get transfusions or whatever kind of therapy they need.
It was meant to be a really breakthrough kind of a place that would bring together the latest in cancer research, the latest in cancer education for doctors and PhDs and postdocs and visiting professors, and the latest in patient care for people needing serious cancer surgeries, some radiation or chemotherapy, and follow-up care. So those are a lot of different things to put into one building, even under the broad heading of cancer. And it was really celebrated by both sides, by both IU Health and Indiana University, as something that would make a mark for Indiana in oncology, which is one of the most difficult and challenging fields of medicine. I think it met a lot of its goals. I mean, it's the National Cancer Institute has awarded it top marks and designated it as a comprehensive cancer center, one of only 50 some in the nation and the only one in Indiana. And it gets tens of millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars in outside research funding. It's recognized as probably the best in the state, but things have changed over the last 12 years. More people want cancer care on an outpatient basis. It was never fully used as an inpatient hospital. There just wasn't the need for as many beds as they originally designed. That's probably one of the biggest challenges. How do you anticipate future challenges in this rapidly changing disease area and make it work for the next 50 years?
And why is it called the Simon Cancer Center?
Well, it was called the Simon Cancer Center because a lot of his money came from the Simon family. Melvin Simon, who was a big name in corporate circles in Indiana, from the Simon real estate family, and his wife, Brent, donated $50 million for construction and for medical research at the center. And in turn, they got the building named in their honor, and Brent got an honorary doctorate from IU.
Now, Mel died in 2009. Do we have any sense of what the Simon family thinks about this major change in the, well, I mean, I guess we would call it the abandonment of that particular building, for which, I mean, I think their gift earmarked $25 million for construction.
No, I haven't been able to reach the family, and neither IU nor IU Health is commenting about any conversations they may have had with the Simon family. Although IU Health is pretty emphatic that the Simon name will be somehow, you know, continued in the new facility. And a few years ago, the dean of the IU Medical School said the Simon Cancer Center, I forget his exact words, but it will continue for a long time. So I don't think the name is going anywhere, but yeah, it's a surprise that that big building that went up with so much fanfare and promise and potential within many of our memories just 12 years ago is going to be emptied out and relocated.
What's the rationale, again, for moving the center's operations? I mean, it always appeared to me to be kind of a self-contained facility. I mean, I've been treated there. Members of my family have been treated there. We never had to go anywhere else. Why incorporate that into this new campus?
That's a really good question, because when this center opened, it was heralded as a one-stop place for research and patient care that would bring together lots of medical teams, lots of resources, the best of both worlds. And conceivably, it could have continued there. The answer I keep getting from IU Health and from IU is that the new location will give it even more access to medical teams and other facilities and other types of care and other resources. You know, so it's a fair question whether or not they think by implication that it wasn't exactly working where it was, but that's the answer they give.
So what happens next in this whole process?
That's a good question. I mean, so many things are tied together and you don't know which happens first and what's going to happen next. I mean, even over the last year or two, a lot of the maternity care, for example, at Methodist has been shifting or is about to shift over to Riley, which has never had, you know, maternity care, but is now about to inherit that from Methodist and is rebuilding several floors to handle that. When that opens up at Methodist, something else might go in. In the meantime, IU Health is continuing to buy up property, and I don't think the next big thing will happen until a design is done and finalized. I mean, I even saw a design roughly from the IU Board of Trustees earlier this year, and it looks nothing like what IU Health put out last month. So there's still a long way to go before they even know what the thing is going to roughly look like. You know, it's going to be several more years, I think, before you really see the next big visible thing, which is going to be tearing down of certain facilities and then building up of new ones.
I know that they need to have some pretty in-depth conversations with the city, because we're talking about a lot of like primo real estate in downtown. And they need, I think, to, you know, talk about development standards and how this is going to work and integrate with the rest of the downtown. Is there any reason to think the city is going to give them a hard time on this?
That's a good question. I mean, they both need each other so well, and there's hardly any bigger player in town than IU Health and IU and the tens of thousands of employees and the many, many millions and billions of dollars that those institutions represent. Still, IU Health does need a rezoning on that new property, and it leaves room in the conversation for city council to say, well, you're taking all this prime real estate off the property tax rolls, and you're a non-for-profit, so you don't pay property tax. Can you make it up somehow to us in some other way? Payments in lieu of taxes, which is a growing trend for hospitals around the country to pay their fair share for the city services they receive. So conversations are ongoing, but I don't expect any major stumbling blocks.
Well, why don't we check in when we see something coming out of the ground?
Sounds good.
Thanks so much, John. This really was helpful for me to figure out what's going on.
It's not easy to figure it out. And for any listeners who are out there who know more than I do, please let me know. I'm sure there's lots more to report on.
Right on. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mason.
My thanks again to John Russell. You can learn more about how Simon Cancer Center has performed over its first dozen years in a story John has on the front page of this week's print edition of IBJ. And before you get on with the rest of your holiday shortened week, I want to draw your attention to a couple other stories in this week's IBJ. Sam Quinn explains how the city of Indianapolis is analyzing the makeup of city county staff and whether the demographics match that of the overall city population. They're also looking at racial disparities in management-level employees and staff pay as city departments prepare their budgets for next year. And it appears city leaders have some work to do recruiting and retaining more minority employees, particularly Hispanic workers. Also in this week's issue, Mickey Shuey profiles architect Stephen Alexander, who has been a key figure in several projects to reinvigorate downtown south of the Mile Square. That includes being part of the development team for a new Hilton Hotel, as well as the $28 million Flying T Golf Complex proposed along the White River. Again, you can read these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or online at IBJ.com. I will say it's a lot easier to access all of IBJ's award-winning business content if you have a subscription. It works out to about $2 per week, which is a pretty good deal for the amount of information you can get to help you make important decisions in the next few months. Just go to IBJ.com and click on the subscribe button. Thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbender. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be back again next week.